going to talk about, and we're going to talk about violent crime. And talking about violent crime, of course, there was a terror attack in Paris this morning. It is now reporting, according, let me quote this news source, it is according to NBC News, a Paris policeman kills four officers, injures one other in a knife attack at police headquarters. So the policeman killed his fellow officers. Talking about violent crime, putting it into perspective, right? But today we're going to focus on violent crime in the city of Detroit. And I'm going to quote what I read on the Detroit News. This is not Harriet. I didn't make this up, right? This is what the Detroit News is reporting, right? And I want to talk about it within the perspective of just last week, I, like everybody else, was stunned to read that a woman was shot in Detroit and her body was left in the street. Now, for those of us in Southeast Michigan, it's almost as if we are desensitized when we hear these things. It's almost as if we're like, oh my God, can this truly, truly be happening? We've gotten so used to it that I'm afraid the sensitivity and the outrage and the alarm that should be evoked when we read these things is not happening anymore because we've gotten so used to it. We've gotten so used to reading stories of people being shot, babies being shot. One guy killed a three-year-old child driving on a freeway. People just randomly shooting people and shooting at people. And women in particular, women and children and seniors. So the three most vulnerable population groups, women, children, and seniors, in that order, are the people who are most likely to be attacked and least likely to receive some sort of remedy from their attack. You do know that, right? So according to statistics show that the people most likely to be harmed by violence and violent crimes are people of color, particularly women and children and seniors. And they're the least likely to receive any kind of remedy from the state or the federal government or the county government. Now, this is not something that is new. In fact, just recently we watched the Amber Geiger trial from Dallas and saw where a white, female white police officer thought she had law and order on her side, walked into someone's apartment and killed him and shot him dead. And then her excuse was she went to the wrong apartment. Happens that they're both on different floors. So I don't know how you get off on a different floor if you live in the same building. I can imagine if you had just moved there, you would forget which floor you're on. But if you live in the same building, you're not going to forget which floor your apartment is on unless you're drunk or high. And we watched as the society expects the parents of that child to forgive her. Why is the burden being placed on the victim's family to forgive the perpetrator? She's getting 10 years in jail, 10 years only. The young man is still dead. 10 years from now, when she emerges from jail and she gets a chance to live her life out, that young man is still dead. So how is a society expecting that a burden of forgiveness? Oh, she didn't really mean it to happen. Yes, she did. Every time you take out a gun to shoot someone, you meant for it to happen. Okay? So there is no such thing as, oh, well, she didn't really mean it to happen, and so we should forgive. No, forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that the pain goes away. Forgiveness just means you choose to release the emotion you have towards the person so you can heal, so it can help you heal. But forgiveness doesn't mean you should not suffer the consequences of your actions. And so as we continue our focus, and for years now I've been talking about ending violence against women and girls, the more I talk about it, is the more that it happens. It's almost as if it's anybody listening. Is the Detroit Police Department listening? Is the Chief of Police listening? I just want to know. I know they hear me. I know the state police listen. I know they're hearing me. And I am asking this question. Can we get these violent people off the street? If I need the judges and the prosecutors to understand that when someone comes before you and they have a history of committing violent crime, that's not someone you should give a slap on the wrist and tell them, oh, just go sit still for 5 years and then you can come back out and kill people again. That should not work. So for all the people who are talking about we need to reform this and reform that and we need to forgive people's crimes because they already did the time, and they, if they have not been rehabilitated and they come back in to the society, guess what? They're going to kill over and over again. Do you see what I'm saying? So where is the genesis of this violent crime in Detroit? What is causing it? Well, we know a couple of things just by looking at it. We can tell right away, right? We can tell that crime of opportunity, people are killing people whom they know. We can also tell that economics is a major problem, where there is no economic infrastructure, where people feel as if they have no power, where people feel as if they can't get out of the rut that they're in, they're most likely to commit violent crime. And the opportunity is that who they're going to commit it on themselves. So they have an argument with someone. They know that they are not going to, everything that is wrong with them, they're going to project it onto this person. They're frustrated, they're angry, they're going to carry out their actions. But that's not the only thing. There's drugs. Well, where does the drugs come from? Well, they have to buy the drugs from somewhere. So who are the drug suppliers? And who really are the financiers of drugs? And that's an age-old question. Remember, they had a war on drugs? Reagan started a war on drugs. The country spent billions and billions of dollars with a war on drugs to no avail. We ended up with an opioid crisis just the same. So where... where is the remedy? What is going to stop this violence? We're going to have to look at the penal system. And we're going to have to make sure people do go to jail and serve their time, regardless of how their family members feel. Their family members are like, oh, he's actually a good person. Honey, he reacted violently. The young woman who was shot on Santa Rosa Drive was killed by an ex-boyfriend, right? Someone she was romantically involved with, he shot her as she came out of her car. He put two shots in her body. She fell while her one-year-old child is sitting in the house, hearing the gunshots that took her mother's life. That's not something that anybody should ever walk out of jail or walk out of a courtroom with 10 years on. That's something someone needs to sit down for the rest of their lives and think about what they have done and pay for it. Let me ask you this. If you were to hear that I got shot and I was killed, how would you feel? You would think it's unjust. You would think someone needs to be paid. You would probably be worked up about it, right? So why should the person who killed me get away with it? What should my family do? Because they would have lost me forever, right? So I can never come back because death is final. So that person walk away and my family should say, oh, I forgive them. Forgive them. What is forgiving going to do at that point? Is it going to bring my life back? No. Is it going to put breath back into my body? Is it going to reverse the series of events? So we need to do something about the crime in Detroit. It's time out for all these interest groups. The crime is being perpetuated by gangs. It's gang warfare. I read a story on the Detroit News some months ago now, about the different gangs that are operating in Detroit. Why is the mayor and the police chief not doing anything about it? Why? What's stopping that? Why is the police not driving around and rooting out these people knowing that they're in there? That's probable cause to enter their house. You know they're in the house over yonder. You know they're in some trap house somewhere. You know that, that house is abandoned more than likely. Why are the police not policing enough? Because if the police, guess what will happen? Violent crime is going to stop because nobody really wants to go to jail. And we all know that when the police show up, they shoot first and ask questions later. So nobody wants to be caught up in the crossfire of the police trying to figure out, are you a nice guy or you are not? They don't have time to ask that question, right? So why are the police not policing? Why are the police sitting in the precincts and they're not out there? There are enough men in boots. We can put enough boots on the ground to go and attack and root these violent criminals and rid them out of the society. And something has got to stop. Here's some numbers that I want to read to you today. 48205 is the most violent zip code in Detroit. It's so bad that it is called 4820DIE because you inevitably don't live past 28 in that zip code. 48205. In fact, if you are caught in that zip code with a gun, you get immediate life. You get 15 to life if you are caught with a gun just driving. If you are caught committing a crime in the commission of a crime, well, you're going to get life. That's how violent that zip code is. It's littered. This is where the city comes in. It's littered with abandoned homes. It's littered with overgrowth. So it's a haven for criminal activity. Let's face it, there will always be some criminals lurking around somewhere in any society. But if you don't do the job of policing, then there won't be. Do you see what the president did at the border? Right? If they say people were coming over the border, jumping over whatever, you know, crossing rivers and so on. He started policing it. You see anything else happen? That's what policing is. We don't like it, but it's effective. That's what policing is. The job of the police is to keep the public safe. The public are not safe. I don't feel safe. And no woman in Detroit feels safe. So I'm about to ask the police. They can say whatever they want to say. As much as I support the police in their efforts, you're still not doing enough because there is no way that violent guns should not be so readily available. And I believe that you know where the guns are. Right? Right? So let me ask this question one more time. What is the police going to do about violent crime in the city of Detroit? Go get the criminals and get them out of there. Why do women, children, and seniors still have to feel unsafe in homes that they bought, in homes that they're paying for? And the mayor is still going to and from work. Hello. The mayor is still going to and from around the city like nothing. That's what I want to know. So I'm not even focusing on what happens on the south side of Chicago. I'm not going to go there. Michigan is called the murder mitten. According to the FBI, Detroit is the nation's most violent city. We even surpassed Chirac. You know what they call Chicago? Chirac. Because you remember when the Iraq War was on? And so Chicago, Chirac is part Chicago and Iraq. Detroit is more, according to the FBI, is the most violent city in the country. And we got a police chief who is black. And we got a mayor who says he's going to clean it up. But why are the criminals still running the shots? Why are business people in Detroit can't operate their businesses? I feel, every time I drive past a Detroit gas station, I feel sorry for the people there. They can't go to and from and operate their business in peace. Their insurance rates are through the roof. I was in a seminar some time ago where Detroit business operators, people who operate convenience stores and gas stations, one guy said his insurance rates were astronomical because of the violent crime in the city and the potential for him and his staff to be attacked, to be robbed or killed. Something is wrong. There is a disconnect. The police have the guns. Yeah, the criminals have the guns. No doubt about it. They're running around with AR-15 and all kind of guns and what's the one, the handgun thing, the handgun. Y'all know what that is. I don't even know. The Glock, something like that, 357 Magnum. They're running around with guns like that. So where is the police? If the police want more guns, if the police want more action, go to the state police. They will get you the money to get the guns. But get them out of here. I don't care what they look like. I don't care if they look like me. They are going to kill me and people who look like me and women. Right? And I don't feel sorry for anybody, not when women are being shot and killed. And young men, there are no young men left. They're all either in jail or in the grave. The funeral homes are making a killing, burying young men every week. Like, you just drive around any Detroit funeral home, and you can, man, they're so busy, they don't even have time to switch it out. It's like they're just dying to get in. They're just coming in, coming in, coming in. Right? So let me give you some facts. These are the facts. We talked about 48205. In 2018, but according to the Detroit Police, in 2018, there were 13,478 violent crimes in the city of Detroit alone. This is not statewide. This is not the entire city, state of Michigan. This is Detroit, right? According to the police, it was down 2% from 2017. Murders in Detroit in 2017, dying to get in. Murders in Detroit in 2017 were 261. In 2018, were 261. I went to the state police's website some time ago to pull some data. Believe me, I left it. I literally X'd out of the page. I couldn't read it anymore. Because for every statistic referenced there, that is connected to a person, that's connected to a family. There is a mother, a father, a son, a brother, a child, a friend, a family member who is grieving the loss of someone. And the voices of the dead and the voices of the family members who have been traumatized as a result of this rampant violence cannot be silenced. And the police are not doing enough. Why are women being killed in the streets? Police, you know who these violent criminals are. You know who they are. Go get them. We, the citizens, want you to get them. I don't care if they're your nephew, your uncle, your brother. Get them off the streets. Listen to me very carefully. Economics aside, everybody has a choice. There is a choice. The choice is not crime. We all have been challenged. We all have faced challenges. Yes, there is implicit bias like you wouldn't believe. Yes, there's an entrenched system of economic oppression. It exists. It's not invisible. It is real. People experience it every day. That does not give anybody the license to go pick up a gun and attack a woman who is buying gas at the gas station, or to attack the gas station worker or gas station owner who is performing legitimate business. You want what they have? Go work for it. If you have to start at McDonald's at $7 an hour, well then, go get it. I'm sorry, I've had this thing in my throat for some time. But do you see what I mean? The police need to do the job of policing. And I'm afraid that it's not getting done. I'm afraid that because if it were getting done, guess what? You know it. The criminals would be what? They would be afraid of the police. They see a police car coming, they'd be like, no, I'm not touching it because I don't want to deal with the police today. That's what needs to happen. The police need to police. Get these violent criminals off the street, off every neighborhood street in Detroit, every neighborhood street. Police cars are, where do they drive? Like, hello? Get them off the streets. Just go and circle in the neighborhoods. Just hover. Bring that drone thing that you all have. Hover, Michigan State Police, go drive down the city. Michigan State Police was posting up until a few weeks ago. They posted where they were just doing random checks on city streets in, you know, like in early morning hours, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, times when the rest of us would be asleep. The state police were out there. They caught violent criminals, people who have a history of violence, who already have a rap sheet with guns. And I'm like, if the state police is doing it, where are my police officers? Where are the Detroit police? Why aren't they out there driving around and getting these violent criminals off the street? They're violent people. They're killing people. They're shooting at people. They think the police are a joke because the police are not going to show up. Just recently, I read a story that was quite alarming about a young man who was shot and killed, and the neighbor says that two people in red hoodies. And I'm like, well, isn't that telling us something? Are they identifying with a particular group? So I reached out to someone I know and I asked, what the heck is going on? And he said, gangs, baby, gangs. The the gangs have taken over. We're just going to let this neighborhood streets, Mr. Mayor, what you doing? Mr. Mayor, when is the violence going to stop? Arm the police to do the job and then hold them accountable. So don't let the police come and say, well, I don't have enough boots on the ground or I don't have enough. You know where I'm coming from. Come on, y'all. Help me out a little bit here. So, Mr. Mayor, give the police the tools they need to go do it and then hold them accountable to it. So they can't say, well, I didn't give you enough money to hire more people to put more boots on the ground, or I didn't give you enough resources. I didn't give you enough cyber, you know, computers or enough technology for you to go find these criminals. These criminals are out here. They're scamming. They're stealing people's credit cards. They're taking people's. You can't even walk around. They scan your credit card. You go to the gas station. How many times in a week are we going to hear of people going to the gas station and they're shooting people as you come out of the gas station? It's almost like every gas station is a sitting duck. They know you have money because you've come to do what? Buy gas. So they're literally sitting and waiting. Your green light foolishness, Detroit police, is not working because the criminals are avoiding it because you're not catching them. Mr. Mayor, arm the police to go and do what they need to do to get these criminals off the street. I'm not standing by no darn criminal. They don't respect me. They don't respect the police chief. They don't respect the mayor. You think they're going to respect anybody else? And we're women. They're all in jail. Let them go sit down in jail and figure out and think about that. That's where they ought to be. Not out here killing innocent people off. As you drive around the city, isn't it alarming? Most people you see driving around the city are women. It's women who are going to work. Where did I go this week? And they were delivering something, and it was women delivery drivers. Kind of struck me. You know, it just kind of stood out in my mind there. And I'm like, they're mostly women. Women are taking children to school. Women are getting up in the morning, dropping the kids off, then going to work. Then they pick up the kids and go home, go shopping, and do everything. It's all women. Where are the men in jail or committing crime? And the propensity they have is, you know, instead of trying to figure out, well, I know I have a record, but I need to get a job anyhow. Why don't they go to the gas station owner and say, hire me, man? Instead of setting up to shoot the gas station owner or the gas station worker or the people coming out to buy gas. It is inconceivable. The associative trauma the rest of us have from watching this violent activity played out over and over again. And frankly, I think the politicians are a joke. The Detroit City Council members, what are they doing? They're not calling all the police. Maybe they're afraid to. Maybe they, you know, they're afraid the police won't protect them. I don't know what it is. I hope the police are protecting all the citizens. I would hope so. I certainly would hope so, right? But what are they doing? Are the politicians, what are you all doing? Getting ready for a social season? The politicians are not calling out the police. They're not saying the police need to do more to protect the citizens. They're not doing that. They're sitting there like a sitting duck themselves. Or maybe it's not their concern. They're like, you know what? The cousins are always going to shoot one another. It's not my concern. Apathy. That's how the police probably feel. They're criminals anyway. They're going to do it anyway. What should I care? Then you shouldn't be a police officer because your job is to protect and serve. And part of your job when you signed up for it, you know you had to go confront these people. Go drive through the neighborhoods. Put police checkpoints and see what happens. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, you live down here? Yeah, man, okay. All right, nice to see you. Get to know them. Drive around. It's just amazing to me. You know, part of my problem is because I lived somewhere else. I lived in a whole other country. So I'm not new to policing. I understand how the system works, and I understand the challenges that they have. But for me, this is the United States. You have way more resources here than many people in other countries don't have. You have access to resources. Just open and ask for it. The state police is just sitting there with all their blue vehicles, just like, we're here. Want some money? The state police will get the money. because they will go to the DOJ, and the statistics are so alarming. The state police will get the money and say, here, go do this. This is going to be a concerted effort. The citizens can't do this anymore because they're not listening. Young men are not listening to their family members. Are you hearing me? The people who are committing these violent crimes, they're not listening to their family members. Right? They're not listening. So it makes no sense to say, well, it's a community response problem, and we're working through the people in the community. The criminals are not listening to the community. The criminals are listening to the bark of their guns. Amen. Do you get it? That's who the criminals are listening to. They're not listening to me. They're not listening to their grandmothers who are begging them not to pick up a gun. They're not listening to their mamas who are saying, son, I don't want to come visit you in jail. They're not listening to their sisters who are saying, please, bro, please don't do this. They're not even listening to their own children who say, I'd love to grow up and have my daddy walk beside me on graduation. They're listening to the bark of guns. Gang violence is what is causing a lot of this activity. That's not a secret. The mayor even has a liaison, or attempted to have a liaison some years ago. Didn't work very well, did it? Maybe what we need to have, you think the gangs are ever going to put their guns down when they're not going to trust each other to put the guns down? We've all looked at Compton, haven't we? No. So it's going to take what? Policing. So you can have a summit where you bring the leaders of all the gangs together, right? You can bring all their representatives. You bring them all together. You bring all the pastors in the zip codes where crime is most violent, like 4820 die, right? You can bring all of them together. But you know what? You know what? The violence is still going to continue. The violence is still going to continue. The violence is not going to stop. But you know what's going to stop it? The bark of the police. The might and power of the police. That's what will make them back off. Because as bad as anybody is, everybody is bad until the police show up. Everybody, they threaten people. They beat up people. They shoot people because they feel powerful. Because you know what? When the police come, the police has the power to not just shoot without asking questions, but if they live and survive that, the police is going to lock them up. That's why the police needs to do their job. So Mr. Mayor, the mayor of the city of Detroit, what's your job, sir? To protect the people, provide the resources for the police to do their job. Don't ask the community for any help, because that ain't working. If the Detroit City Council is sitting in every day and are not holding the police accountable for the violence that is taking place in every zip code, because if you go to look at it, you can see the violence broken down by zip code. You can see what specific kinds of crimes are available in some zip codes. And we won't even talk about the pedophiles who are coming out of jail, the sex offenders who are coming out and who proliferate in some zip codes because it's easier, because they can't live in Oakland County. They can't live in Macomb County. What is the police doing about that? This is Harriet Kemmick with Down to Earth. Come back again. Right? What is the police doing about that? I asked that question. What is Detroit police doing about violent crime? It's not a community response. That's not going to work. What works is policing. Policing is the most effective tool that will stop violent crime in its tracks. Policing, where the police go to every pawn shops, they sell drugs and they sell guns. Go to every pawn shop. Who are you selling guns to? Michigan being an open carry state and all, with a license. So all these folks, you think they bother going through the formal system? No, they don't. A guy just shows up with some guns in the trunk of his car and boom, people walking around with guns feeling like they're powerful, like this is the wild, wild west. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Right? It's mind-blowing to me because of the statistics that drove me nuts. I mean, it's the second woman's death in 2 weeks that grabbed my attention. Last week, another woman's body was found in an alley. The week before, it was somebody else's body was found on the street. A woman was shot in the face by an attacker. Listen to this one. This is the one that is going to shock you. The EMT were in a house resuscitating a man who had a heart attack, and the violent criminal entered the house, went in the next room, and shot a woman to death while the EMT were in the house. And you want to tell me we don't have a problem? Eventually, the police got the name of the attacker. Probably just walking around and driving around because, hey, Detroit police only pull over decent citizens, right? Yeah? They don't look for violent criminals. What is going on? And the prosecutor of Wayne County is silent. So if the community is not feeling empowered to fight back against violent offenders in the city, then what will become of us? Because the people with the power, the police, are not doing it. The prosecutor is a woman. What is she, if she comes out and says anything, what happens? Right? She said, look at what we're seeing. This is what we're prosecuting. Witnesses don't even come forward. They're scared to. You can't say anything. They'll shoot you and kill you. So witnesses are not coming forward. They're not going to make it to court date. Everyone knows that. So where is the police in policing? Having a coffee, right, on Jefferson downtown? That's where they are. Or they're parked up in their precincts watching CNN and not doing anything about the crime taking place out in the neighborhood streets. What's going on? And why are they picking on decent citizens? I drive on auto drive, and the police are just randomly pulling people over. Women going to work, women dropping children off, women with no support. I don't see you pulling over the violent criminals. Are they driving? Where are the violent criminals? Where are they? Driving down the lodge at 100 miles an hour, driving on 96 like this is Daytona Speedway? Where is it at? Where is the action? We got to do something. So you can't ask the, you can't be, you, it's one thing for you to say, well, we're effectively policing. You're pulling people over who are women, who are sometimes enablers, right? But where are the violent criminals? They leave an address when they come out on parole. You know, the police know exactly who lives in what neighborhoods. They know exactly what kind of crimes are taking place in there. Why are they not going after violent criminals? When is another woman going to be shot? Because she's never shot. Hello. It's never by somebody who, you know, it's just a guy, he got mad because she... It's always by somebody who has a record and has a propensity to commit crime again. So when they go to court, why are the judges giving these people loose time? Why are they not getting life? Why are you not giving them 25 years? Why are you giving them 5 years? They're out in 2.5 on good behavior. They come right out with an agenda to attack everybody. What's going on? And the prosecutors are just sitting there like, so what did I do all this work for? If the judge is just going to be so lenient, it doesn't even make sense. Right? 4820, die. The most violent zip code in the city of Detroit. So if you are, if you have time to, look up 48205, right? It's going to tell you exactly where this is located. It is unbelievable. It's located in Wayne County. It is the most violent zip code in the area. That's where the, all that's they call it, the murder something. Okay? My throat is the most, it's that zip code. Years ago, when I first started talking about violence, I went to a seminar, and when they brought up the statistics on this zip code, I kid you not, I stood there, I sat there like this. I couldn't believe what I heard. This is taking place in Detroit, Michigan. It's taking place in Detroit, Michigan, in the United States. It is so bad that people move out of the city, right? In record numbers. You don't believe me? Just look it up for yourself. It's the most. Sometimes I wonder about how the people, the ancestors, you know, who fought so hard to come up from the South to have a better life for their family members, right? Thinking their generations would be better, and instead, what they come to find out is that it's no better, right? And what they find is that you left behind a legacy. But I get how young people feel today. You know, they're disenchanted and disenfranchised. But you don't really want to start somewhere. Let's just be clear. Most young folks today, who are, they don't want to do anything to, it takes too long. They don't want to go to school. They're in school. They're rude and arrogant to the teachers. They don't feel like they should be there. What are you going to tell me? What do you know? That's their attitude. So nobody wants to lose their life over trying to influence somebody else. So you leave them because they're not going to listen. This is why I say a community response is not the answer. They have effectively provided infrastructure within the system for children to obtain relief. But you can't get, listen, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get him to drink it. Because if he doesn't want to drink it, he's not going to drink it. They don't want to be better. They want to stay in their own lane, and the way they see, the only way that they're going to make it is using this gun. The gun compels people to do what they want to do. They're so limited by their vision that they think if they come to hold you up and you have $200 on them, that or your iPhone or your phone or whatever, that is enough. I read one case recently where a Lyft driver was called at 4:40 in the morning, and he was driving an Escalade. The people requesting the Lyft wanted a truck, and they held him up and took his truck, threw out his cell phones because they felt like cell phones could be traced. And these criminals were so dumb that they drove the truck into their house. What were they thinking? Did they think that when you kill someone and take their property, you're going to hold on to it forever? Is that what they were thinking? So the Lyft driver finally reported it to the police. The police had them under surveillance, found where the Lyft, where the truck was parked, and had them under surveillance. They got in the man's truck. They went to the gas station. They used his credit card to buy gas, still driving around in the truck. What? Young man who should be what? Preparing back to college, preparing to go to school. Instead, they're using their minds to go create crime. They were in jail. The police finally apprehended them. No family member needs to go and say, oh, he was such a young man. No. He, like everybody else, he could go down to Wayne Community College and sign up to go finish his, to go get a two-year degree. There are programs that they have that you can matriculate from a two-year degree to a four-year degree. and they will provide you with support. You can go work at McDonald's, Wendy's, or Burger King. And so what if you sleep on a cot in somebody's basement, or you sleep on a cot in somewhere until you make it? You want to be big pimping and living a big lifestyle? Well, you have to go start somewhere, so you will have it later on. It's going to take you some time, but that's how the system works. But they don't want to do that. They want it now. And now means at the hand, the end of a gun. And now means holding someone up to get it. So we don't live in a lawless society. There are provisions within the society to keep us safe. Where is that? Because we're not seeing it. So to the Detroit police, I know you're listening. I know you're listening to me. Where is the provision to keep us safe? Where is it? Where are the police to drive around to protect the women and the children? Why are you pulling women over who are on their way to work with children in the car that they have to drop off at school and they have to get to work? Otherwise, they're going to lose the job and lose their little hold that they have onto something great. You focus on the wrong people. Are you pulling women over because you have to demonstrate that you're actually doing something and they're the least violent and least opportunity for violence is likely to occur? So it still will look like you're actually policing, but you're preying on a vulnerable part of the population. Is that what it is? It needs to stop. And as for the Detroit City Council, you all are jokers. Yes, you all are jokers. Come talk to me. Yeah. Come and show me where you are making efforts in your city, in your council, defined by zones, to stop violent crime. Come and show me. I would be happy to come and visit. I'll be happy to come and come back on air and correct that impression. So come and show me, because I know you can't back it up. Because all you guys do is go down to city council every day and do your own infighting, and you don't address the violent crime that has taken over the folks of the city of Detroit. You don't go to the police. You don't organize demonstrations. You don't go to the police and say, hey, the mayor is giving out money. Where are you all at? Why people still have to live in fear? Why are people living in fear? Come on now. But you're always on Detroit News, always on Channel 4 and Channel 7, looking to put your picture in the damn paper, but you ain't doing nothing about getting criminals off the street. I'm sick of it. You can tell. Yes, I'm tired of it. Because I've listened to a plethora of every foolishness, every kind of concern, every kind of feedback. The one thing I'm not seeing is that you, the people who have the power, you're not doing anything about the crime. That's what I am seeing. And that is how it looks. So 4820, die. That's not the only violent zip code. You can Google a variety of zip codes in Detroit. You'll find there are more like 3,000 pedophiles living in one zip code. Why? 3,000 sex offenders. What is the police doing about that? That's an outrage. You Google another one for murder stats. Jesus Christ, you're almost like, oh my God, is this for real? You can't believe it. And some days I have to ask myself, is this in the United States? Or is this an annex to the United States? Because this is impossible. And the police, frankly, I think the police in Detroit need to get SUVs. Do y'all need SUVs? Is that what you need to go fight violent crime? Because, you know, you're driving the Dodge Chargers around. Maybe it's not fast enough. Maybe it's not bulletproof enough, whatever. Do you have enough guns? I'm pretty sure if you ask for it, you will get it. Under this government, you're going to get it if you ask for it. If you tell the government that you need this to go fight crime, you're getting the money. Right now, as I am sitting here talking, there are people who live in fear. There are people who refuse to come out of their homes. There are people who can't take their kids to school. There are people who can't walk past certain neighborhood streets and certain houses on certain streets. And even if they call the police, nothing happens. The police response time is what, 7 minutes? They're not showing up. They're like, is anybody dead, stabbed, bleeding? We've become so desensitized to crime here in the U.S. that any visit to any emergency room, if they don't have a bleeder, If the person is not bleeding, if it's not a gunshot wound, well, you're going to sit tight for another hour and a half. Right? That's how desensitized we have become. So the healthcare system is going to tell us that that's part of the problem. But what is the police doing? It still comes back to us. It comes back to their lap. It's the police. It's the police who needs to do it. And in preparing for this, what struck me, like I said, was a story in the Detroit News about zip code 48205. And it was alarming because I know of that zip code. I've read about it. But I thought somehow, this is the first time I read about it was about 4 years ago. I thought somehow in the last 4 years that it had calmed down. I had no idea that it was still so bad. And yes, I'm looking directly into the camera because somewhere, somebody from the Detroit Police Department is watching and viewing this, and you're looking at me. And I'm looking right back at you like, what's up? What's up? What you gonna tell me? Look me in the eye and tell me. What you gonna tell me? You want to explain to me what you all gonna tell that woman, the family members of women who are being shot by violent criminals, criminals whom you know of, who have a violent past, whom you already know they exist. What you gonna tell me? Let that sit and marinate for a minute. You have the resources. If not you, then who else? Then don't wear the uniform. If you're terrified to go out there, then resign. Tell the police you need more Kevlar suits. Do you need a helmet so they don't shoot you in the head? You need Kevlar? You need arm stuff on your arms? Do you need bulletproof vehicles? Talk up and speak up. Tell the government what you need. Start with the mayor. Tell the city council. Tell the mayor. Go to the state police. Tell them you need more Kevlar. Tell them you need all the things that protect your arms. Tell them you need a helmet so when you're driving down and a criminal shoot at you, it's escaped. Tell them you need bulletproof vehicles. But for the love of God, don't take the job, put on the uniform, and leave the citizens and vulnerable children and women. Just leave them out there knowing that there are violent criminals who are murderers. They're killers. And they kill without impunity. They kill without remorse. They're sociopathic and they're psychos. They're psychopathic. They have no remorse, baby. They kill indiscriminately. They don't stop to think. Look at that 77-year-old man at the gas station. Why? He was a grandfather of 10. If that criminal really wanted $20, they could have just asked him, man. You didn't have to kill him. Come on. This is what we're talking about, the senselessness of the violence. It's got to stop. We want it to stop. And it's time for the Detroit police to get involved in the business of violent crime. Get involved. That's your forte. You know where it is. You have the statistics. It comes to you in real time. You all have a bunch of cameras all over the city all day looking at people. What are you looking at? Looking at women's booties as they walk past? Or are you really looking at the violent criminals who are driving past snorting coke and have their guns just on the dashboard, just looking around for a willing victim? You know where they are. You know what they're doing. You know they all have chop shops where they switch tags out. They switch out license plates. They do everything that is criminal under the sun. Everything that they can think of, they do it. And the police see it. And you leave us. Yes, look me in the face. I'm a woman. I'm vulnerable. I have daughters. They're vulnerable. There are millions. There are hundreds of thousands of people like me. There are seniors who are like your grandmother and your grandfather. And you leave us at the mercy. To the mercy of violent criminals. You can be driving down the freeway and they shoot at vehicles just because they saw something on Power. And by the way, the makers of Power on Showtime, y'all are watching that crap. It's time for them to pull that show because people, young people are out here thinking that that stuff is real and are trying to emulate what they see on Power. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. Why are y'all not talking about that? Why are y'all not telling them that it's not real? Why are the police not out? You know, these young criminals are out. They come out of juvie and they've done their time in juvie and they come out and they're going to do something to get right back in there. They're going to commit murder. They're going to commit assault. They're going to rape someone. They're going to hold someone up because now they're angry. What you angry at? You angry at me? Was it I who told you to go rob the place? And what are the gas station owners supposed to do? You want to shut down commerce in Detroit? Shut down gas stations. All the convenience stores. There are some people who, that's the only place. Detroit is such a food desert, y'all, that sometimes that's where most people go and shop. They take their food stamps card and they go to these little convenience stores to shop and buy food. If they don't exist, the seniors and the people in those areas and women who and transportation and who don't have transportation, they won't get anything to eat. The prices are astronomical, though. You know, I've been in a few and I'm like, are you kidding me? But then I realized people don't have transportation to go to centralized areas to get it. I notice you guys aren't talking much on Twitter, and I guess it's because it's because you probably are not familiar with the workings of the inner city. Right? Ooh, Jesus, somebody said that. Oh, dude, really? No, somebody said the police are the biggest scams. Right? I don't know that I subscribe to that belief. I do believe the police are licensed and they have a duty to maintain the safety of the public. And that's what I want. I want the public to feel safe. The public safety must not be compromised at the expense of the work of violent criminals. That is the crux of the problem. The public are not safe. We are not safe. I'm the public. I am the face of the public. We're not safe. And the public safety cannot be compromised at the work of violent criminals. And violent criminals need the intervention of the police. Is this a police state? No, it's not. But the police need to do what the police do, which is to protect the public. So that means eradicating violence. Yes, it can be eradicated. You know what eradicates violence? Policing. In dictatorships, why is there no crime? Because they have the guns. Who has the guns? Exactly. They enforce it. So people are like, I'm not doing anything because I don't want to be involved. That's what we need to have. We don't need to be a dictator. We don't need a dictatorship. But what we need is strong policing, better policing than what we are seeing. Sure, you pull over people. And? But are you pulling over the violent criminals? Are you looking for them in the zip codes where they are, in the places where you know they are? Are they being policed? You drive past the trap houses. You know they're there. Pull them over. Recently, it was in Pontiac. I was driving through a city street, like kind of taking a shortcut from Woodward Avenue to get to Bloomfield Hills. And I was, this took place in the summer. I drove through a street, Franklin, that I knew is a shortcut to get to Bloomfield Hills. And the guy in front of the guy in front of me was carrying a lawn thing, so you know, the extended thing. All of a sudden, there was another person in front of me. He decides to just suddenly stop, regardless of the traffic. And we were on an incline. So because I drive with awareness that the persons, most people who are driving are not paying attention and are distracted, I anticipated that this was going to happen. I don't know how I knew, but I knew he was going to stop suddenly. So I braked up. So the person in front of me, he braked the person behind me. So I was immediately behind the guy. I was immediately behind the guy with the lawn thing. So I braked. The person behind me braked, so he didn't hit me. But the guy behind, they weren't paying attention. So they ran into the SUV behind me. And I had moved my vehicle out of the way. So when it stopped and we got out, there were two men. One was older, was, appeared to have been injured. So we said, all right, we've got to call the cops, right? It's in Pontiac, so I think Oakland County Sheriffs are have the jurisdiction there. And so we called the police, and the two men sat on the sidewalk. And it just so happened that a couple of days before I was reading how when the police show up, what they do is they let criminals sit on the sidewalk. The two men obediently went to the sidewalk and sat down. So I was a little bit like, are you injured? Do you want some help? Would you like a bottle? You know, I opened my trunk. I'm like, would you like a bottle of water? Can we get you something until the EMS arrives? And they were like, no, no, no. They just quietly sat to themselves. Then the Oakland County Sheriff showed up. When the sheriff showed up, he scanned the area and he knew exactly what had happened. He just said, okay, all right. I just need you folks to tell me in your own words. So I told him what happened and he said, okay. And the other people said, well, this is what happened. So he said, so you all were paying attention, but he wasn't. You see those two guys who were sitting on the sidewalk? They were black. They knew that when the police showed up, that because they have a record, they were going to go to jail because they probably were driving without a license, probably violating terms of their parole. They were very compliant and obedient. So before the police, the sheriff looked at me and he said, we don't need you. You can go. You're free to go. We have no issue with you. You can go. And the look in his face was enough to tell me what was going to transpire. I'm like, I don't really want to see this. I'm out of here. Let me go. It's Saturday morning. I immediately went for some self-care and went shopping afterwards because I knew exactly what was going to happen. I could look from the look in his face and how the two men sitting on the street responded. I knew what was going to happen. You know what that was? That was effective policing. The fear that when the police showed up, something what they were going to be found in want kept them sitting on the side of the road. That's effective policing. That's what we need here in the city. When violent criminals hear that Detroit police have been called, they need to run and hide. That when they see the police car coming, they need to say, oh, no, 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 no. I won't do it again. That's what needs to happen. And the police are the only ones who can create that atmosphere. The police are the only ones who can instill that fear in the heart of every criminal who has an agenda to go shoot someone today, who has an agenda to go shoot someone because they looked at you funny, or to go hold up some unsuspecting senior citizen walking out of a gas station, or some woman who is standing at the gas station pump, pumping gas into her car so she can take her kid to school and go to work. The child won't be shot and her vehicle won't be shot up. Not because she was doing anything wrong. She was simply pumping gas in her neighborhood. What we need is effective policing. I'm Harriet Kemick. Thank you so much for joining us. You can listen to more about this. Join us later on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Feel free to say something. But we got to stop the violence. We got to stop it. Thanks so much, everybody. Be blessed. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much. Be blessed. Hey.